Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
We bless God for today, and today I just want to take it a step further by considering some of the matters that we started on Sunday. But today I want to take it towards another angle. So I want us to read Romans chapter 8. So I started sharing with us about the lamp or the spirit of man being the candle of the Lord. And one of the things I hoped to achieve is to strengthen our personal desire and intimacy with the Lord. Because the strength of a believer's life, one of the major strengths of a believer's life, is the voice of the Holy Spirit. And when this is lacking in the life of a believer, that believer will be empty. That believer will be weak. The life of that believer will be without authority. You will doubt yourself. You will doubt God's promises. So it's very important. God has not called us to live ordinary lives. Even when you are going through challenges, that voice will always guide you, comforting you, exhorting you, giving you some form of guidance. It is very important as believers to understand our relationship with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is very, very important. But today my area of interest is in the inner witness. The inner witness, guidance through the inner witness. Let's read Romans 8 from verse 13 to 16. Romans chapter 8 from verse 13 to 16. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you live. Now, hold on here. What do we mean by if you live according to the flesh? What it means is that if you are controlled by your desires, by your appetite, you see, say it will lead to death. But that death is not just physical death. It's spiritual death. Before physical death. Now, when you look at the flesh, how does the flesh talk to us? Through desires. Am I right? Through feelings. Inadvertently, that means that is also the way the Holy Spirit talks to us. Satan is not permitted to use any method that God has not approved. Please, you need to understand what I'm saying. If the way Satan talks to you is by trying to appeal to your mind, steering up or making you feel a particular way, that also means that if the Lord was to speak to you, he could use those channels. So, if you now begin to live your life based on these earthly desires, what the scripture says is that you will die. To die means that you'll be disconnected from the resources of the Lord, resources of the Holy Spirit. You'll be disconnected from the life of God. And believe me, it is very easy to live like this. The way to live like this is not, don't even bother doing anything. You'll just find yourself here. That being said, you cannot control your flesh without the help of the Holy Spirit. The scripture says that if through the Spirit you mortify or you destroy the deeds of the body, the desires of the body, that you will live. So we need the Holy Spirit here. If you are the type of person that feels that you are in control of your life, or you can decide that you will not sin, you have the power to live above sin, you are going to fall into this trap. Because if man could live above sin, Jesus will not come. So this is the foundation of our conversation today. That for you to live above sin, you must have the help of the Holy Spirit. It's not really something you can do consistently without the help of God. So it is a good prayer every day to ask God for his help. It is not a sign of that you are not, it's not a sign of immaturity. It's actually a sign of maturity to ask for the help of the Holy Spirit. Now let's read verse 14 says, for as many that are led by the Spirit of God, what are they? Now, for you to get a good context, you have to link verse 14 to verse 13 and see where that journey started from. That if you require the help of the Holy Spirit to live a righteous life, that means what happened was that the Holy Spirit led you. He guided you. Maybe that's the word. He guided you away from trouble. And Paul is saying, if a man is led by the Holy Spirit, that man is a son of God. So let me also quickly draw a distinction between a child of God and a son of God. When a person is a child of God, he is not skillful in spiritual things. There are some kind of programs, church programs, that may impress those people. A child of God loves certain parts of the Bible. All right? He may appreciate, and even though this concerns everybody, a spiritual baby may appreciate the love of Christ more, and they stay there. They understand it. All right? They understand the love of Jesus Christ. Somebody who is a spiritual baby may understand forgiveness, God forgiving us. He may not fully appreciate him forgiving other people, but he understands God forgiving us. A person who is a spiritual child is very free with God. Sometimes before they pray, God has answered. And it's a good place to be, but not for a long time. When you're a spiritual baby, I remember when I first became a Christian, one of the things that used to thrill me is that while I'm still praying, God has heard. It used to thrill me like, wow. Like, is this really that I can pray now and see the answer now. Wow. I felt very powerful. It's like being a Superman. Like, is this really possible that the God of the whole earth, the whole heaven and earth, while you are praying, Father, this thing in my life or this particular thing, and while you are praying, somebody comes in and says, it has been done. It used to thrill me. In fact, when I fall sick in those days, going to the doctor was not my first until I have prayed. And 10 out of 10 times, I said 10 out of 10 times, the moment I say, in Jesus' name we have prayed, I will be well. Then one day, I had some pain in my stomach. So I went to the room to pray. And after that prayer, the thing did not go. So I became confused that something is wrong. It's like maybe I don't have faith or something. Later I realized that was God's way of telling me it's time to grow. So it's just like some of us here who have young children. We plan ahead what they are going to eat. But at some point, God invites you to be part of the cooking process. Huh? So your mom will call you from the market and say, go to the shop beside us and get some yam or get some rice or get some pepper. If you don't get that pepper, what it means is that nobody will eat that night. But we are all children, no? We are all children of God. Your baby brother that is at home, mama did not call him. That one just knows that when mama entered this house, we are going to eat. So, but they are all children of God. But mama will call somebody and say, go and get some palm oil. Go and get Maggie. That one will just be running up and down before mama comes. But you, at some point, you are also like that small child. Before you pray, God has heard. I want you to see what that scripture means when it says, those that are led by the Spirit of God. Jesus, our Lord, was teaching us about the good shepherd and the sheep. And Jesus said, it is the sheep that hear my voice, not the lamb. Are you with me? For some of us that are complaining, yeah, I don't know, Pastor, I can't hear God's voice. Well, this may be the problem. What God is saying is above your head. It doesn't mean God cannot talk to you, but you'll be hearing baby things. Baby things. God will not discuss issues of your nation with you. God will not discuss the destiny of nations with you. Most likely, God will just be telling you, my son, you know I love you. You know you are very precious to me. I love you before you are formed in your mother's womb. So you hear those things. So we are all hearing God, but we are hearing different things. When you ask a spiritual baby to come and share what God is telling them, you will hear some of these things. But when you ask a matured person to come and share what God is telling them, they will tell you that the Lord is calling us to intercession. He's calling us to seek his face. God says we must flee from unrighteousness. God says that we must walk in holiness. It's just maybe like, is it not my father that pampers me? These people don't know God. Daddy, where they pamper. Those are for spiritual children. So, if that is also your best song, then we know where you are. So we have different songs in the body of Christ. Some are for babies, some are for matured men. Huh? Your baby is singing, so we know your level. I hope you know that God does not commit eternal matters to babies. Something that involves the destiny of people, God will never put it in the hands of a baby. Or that thing, it will be destroyed. Before you close your eyes, they have destroyed. Even when you give them a toy, they will piece it. They may not even be able to put it back together, but to destroy, oh, that's the easiest thing. Spiritual babies are known to keep malice. They do it spiritually. They do it in a spiritual way. Say, no, I've forgiven you. I forgive you. But just stay on your... Eh? I can forgive, but I can't forget. That my God will judge you. If truly you have offended, my God. The question, sorry, sir, which God do you serve? So there are things that when we see, we can say, ah, this person is the head of, is the pastor of the church, but he's a spiritual baby. The Bible says, woe unto you when your king is a child. Because he will make Milo and Bonvita decisions. And you will not be able to do anything because if he's angry, we tell him to go and cut your head. Another baby decision. So when you see a scripture like this, that those that are led by the Spirit of God are the sons, it's because children are born, but sons are given. That's what Isaiah told us. Say, for unto us a child is born, but unto us a son is given. Well, a son in the scripture refers to a matured, somebody that can use the name of his father. Someone that can represent his father. That's a son. Not because you gave birth and then they asked you, ah, wait till you're born. Send a boy. That's not the meaning of son in the Bible. You have a male child. But when you say he's a son, that means you can tell the boy, okay, there's a village meeting. Go and represent me. And the boy will represent you without causing problem. He won't go there and fight for food. There are some people, well, as a pastor, I don't eat at events or at weddings. For those who are close to me, no. No matter if I think the only, in the last, I don't know, let me not exaggerate. Since this church started, the only wedding I've eaten at is Osses wedding. So for you to know how powerful Osses is. So I don't eat. Most times, because they will add so many things to the food, and I don't know where they got those things. So I just mind my business. How did I get there? I was a prayer warrior in the Redeemed Church, a member of the prayer department. And I trekked from my house to Futa. That distance, somewhere around the place called Okejebu. That's like... It's over 2 hours or 3 hours, you know. This is our member, a fellow prayer warrior, is getting married. So we went to celebrate, and I dressed like a prayer warrior. I went there. The woman that was sharing the food was, I didn't know that you have to wear a particular cloth, uniform. For them to look at your face. I just said, we are the prayer warriors. The prayer warriors. The lady just gave this one food. Gave so look at me. Just gave the next person. Ah! I said, I just tried to be matured. No, they are bringing around. At 5 p.m., after everybody had gone, that's when it occurred to me that, true. The wedding is over. Reception is over. The groom came out, Bragbinga, thank you so much. I said, from that day I swore. I know they're shopping. So anytime there's a wedding, I eat very well at home. So no matter how you are serving there, doesn't matter. So I eat well. Nobody will surprise me and say, I did not wear the approved. We are the prayer warrior. We prayed for this wedding. the woman, very heartless woman, took the thing, looked at my hands like, and I said, no, they are bringing our own. That we are the prayer warriors. Okay, stay there. Don't go and buy a uniform. That's how I suffered from it. I still have to trek back The brother was now praying. I'm so sorry. I didn't know. How will you know? Shebi, you are there with your wife. How will you know that I did not eat? You cannot know now. It is what it is. But me, I will solve this problem once and for all. So any wedding, if you want me to eat, we have to agree before that day. Verse 15. I will come back to verse 14. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That means dear Father. 16. The spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, this is where I want to stop. This is the first form of communication that God has with anybody that comes to him. The moment you become a child of God, the first thing he does is to give you a witness, because the spiritual realm is a very legal system. When they ask you, how do you know you're a child of God? The only thing you can present is a witness. Without the witness, you are not a child of God. When you become a child of God, you will know. You will know. So this way, this method by which God speaks to us, this witness, is also a method by which he continues to speak to us. And I want to explain, if I can, three ways that the witness manifests. The first way is intuition. The inner witness operates by intuition. Intuition is the way we prophets many times prophesy. There is no way a prophet can be hearing God through his ears, and he will not sleep in the church. The only way a prophet can minister to so many people at the same time is through this intuition. And what is intuition? It is the ability to know something without reasoning. The ability to know something without reasoning. It's the ability to know something without having proud knowledge. I went to a particular office, and as I was walking out, you know, one of the officials there just walked past me, and she greeted me. So she now said, and I turned to her. I said, are you Igbo? She said, yes. I said, wait, let me find your area for you. And I looked at her, and I looked up. I said, I'm from Abia State. She said, hey, how you take no? I said, do you want me to tell you your street there? She said, I said, go and bring money. I said, I know you don't have money, so let just be going to your direction. Let me also face, you know. How did I know? Through the intuition. And one of the ways to grow this type of anointing or develop it is through desire. You desire to grow into those things. Don't be amazed when people operate in it. Desire. The Bible says we should covet earnestly the best gift. Especially if you are in the midst of enemies or you are in a business that, you know, people don't last there, things don't do well. If you are in a situation, if you are in a place in your life and you need God to be talking to you regularly, you need to develop this one. Sometimes you want to do something, you have planned to do it, but God will just touch something inside you, wake up the next morning, and that thing is no more there. I was talking to a wonderful sister. She got admission for PhD in pharmacy. She lives in the U.S. and was moving from one state to another to resume in the new school. She got to the front of the university, and the desire just disappeared. Like, she has traveled from Lagos to Abuja. She's now in front of University of Abuja just to enter the school. And the desire for PhD pharmacy, it just vanished. What's going on? And God said, what are you doing there? The desire is not there. Okay, go home. Number two, the inner witness works through promptings. Through promptings. The Holy Spirit just prompts your heart in a particular way. Say, oh yeah, it's time to pray. Just prompts your heart. It's not your husband. It just prompts your heart. Or just, prompts you, leave this place now. The moment you leave the place, you hear something has happened there. It prompts your heart. It's not a voice. It's like a nudge. You just have a nudge to do something or to go in a particular direction. It's still part of this inner witness. Number three, it operates like a check. You just feel a check. You want to go somewhere, you just feel like, we are not going again. We are not going again. It operates like that. Sometimes, even people who are not born again may have this experience. But for the believer, the Holy Spirit uses this one to talk to you. And many of us who claim that God did not tell us or did not warn us, we were warned by one of these methods 72 times. But because we did not know, we thought it was our mind. See, somebody said, my mind. Which mind? The mind of the Spirit. You meant to say the mind of the Spirit. Say, my mind told me to write 5 in that exam. That 5, Yes. So now you are learning the hard way. So when you hear the Spirit bears witness with our spirit, you can experience it in these three ways. Intuition, promptings, and check. And what's the witness of the Spirit? That we are the children of God. So that wherever you go, you are confident of the fact, that knowledge, that if you die now, heaven will receive you. A lot of Christians are actually hoping that some information will come out in the news that God is dead. You understand? Because when you don't have this kind of experience with the Holy Spirit, you cannot develop your relationship with Him. You cannot. Because when you study the Word of God, and maybe you are studying the Bible, and a particular scripture just jumps out to you, it is in this area that thing is happening. When you see some people that you admire, say, I like this person, she's very close to God. Oh, this person is very, this is what they have mastered many times. It's not as though they see visions. And for instance, if I'm praying here or I'm prophesying here, and I say, I can see something. I'm not seeing it physically. But you see, if this is the way that the Holy Spirit chose to talk to you first when you came to Jesus, then it means it is important. For you to understand the leadership of the Spirit, you must understand the witness. The Lord Jesus appeared to Kenneth E. Hagin 9 times in his lifetime. 9 times, one human being. A white man. I know these Yoruba people, they are always seeing Jesus. We here, we are always fighting principality and power. Kenneth Hagin will say he just wanted to pray. As he decided to kneel down, Jesus appeared. So he saw Jesus 9 times. But by the 9th time that Jesus came to him, Jesus now told him, Oga, after today, I'm not coming again. I have tried for you. This thing you have is too much for one man. You will not grow like this. Jesus now said to him that henceforth, I will only come to you through the inner witness. Please pay attention. If you know anything about Kenneth Hagin, you will know he was a man of the Spirit. Very extremely anointed and balanced. But Jesus said to him, I will no longer come to you by visions where I will appear to you. Say sometimes Jesus will come in through the wall. And sit down on the chair in his room and talk to him for 1.5 hours. Jesus speaks to a man without invitation for 1.5 hours. Meanwhile, you want to hear a 30-minute message. There was no time Jesus came to him and spoke for less than 1 hour. But Jesus said to him that, henceforth, I will lead you through the inner witness. Jesus now asked him that, okay, you know, and please pay attention. Jesus now told him that, do you remember that church that invited you? You know, in those days, if you want to accept invitation, you have to write a letter to tell them that you have accepted, that you are coming. They didn't have WhatsApp or internet. So this church had invited him, a big church. And Egi wanted to go there because the money there will be complete. But there's this other church, like very small church, that was also inviting Papa Egin. Egin didn't really want to go there. So every time Papa Egin will bring out paper to write a letter to tell the pastor there that I've accepted, I will come. He won't be able to write a letter. He'll just write rubbish. He'll squeeze it, throw it into a dustbin, bring out another paper. Our Lord just now told him that, see your dustbin is full. You are unable to write that letter because I don't want you to go. Go to that small church. Every time you try to write the letter, dear sir, I'm writing to tell, and some of you might have had this experience before. You typed something on your WhatsApp. You wanted to send it. Your mind said, wait. This is what Jesus interpreted to Kenneth Hagin as the leading of the inner witness. Especially if you don't even have a reason why you can't send that, except that so you just have this check. Don't send yet. Don't send yet. Wait. No reason, no. But sometimes you want to call. You say, don't call. This person will start getting wrong ideas. Don't call. Don't call. But no reason particularly, except that there's a check. Something is checking you that, don't call. Don't send that message. Jesus said that is how the inner witness operates. And that is how he wants to lead many of us as Christians. I'm telling you this because this is an area of your life you can develop. And if you develop it within 5 years, 3 years, 5 years, you will be near accurate. Very accurate. When you tell people, oh, this is what the Lord is saying, they will think you heard a voice. They will know that it is that inner witness that you have been working with that gives you access to certain things. Again, this is the heritage of the children of God. Personally, how have I been able to work with this? I observe that anytime I'm able to consistently pray in the Spirit, say average of 40, 45 minutes, and I do it consistently. Or, in another way, I'm somewhere in the parlor, and I'm just praying quietly. I could be watching a cartoon or something, but I'm just praying. You see, if you want to be close to God, you must be mindful of Him. It's not only when they are singing those pampering songs. A song should not make you feel close to God. A song should confirm what is already there. So, maybe you are somewhere in the parlor, you are cooking or something. In your mind, you are praying or you are meditating on the word of God. Then you get into the car. You are headed somewhere. You are in your spirit. You could be alone in the car, you are just praying in tongues. You see all those small, small things. Huh? By the time we check the average, maybe out of 12 hours, CCM to, you have spent like 3 hours or 4 hours with God. But you are on the road. You are somewhere in the market. This is now different from when you now, okay, I want to pray now. You pray for 30 minutes, 1 hour. But even during the day, you are not far from God. You pray in tongues 5 minutes, 7 minutes, you know. I notice that when I do those things, it's easier for me to discern, to quickly know what the Lord is saying and what he is not saying. Now, if you find yourself in a place where people like to, because I've gone to some places where people like to give themselves prophecies. I've gone to Christian gardens, so, because I have a problem now with those of us who say we only do believers meeting. As wonderful as those things are, the believers you are gathering, somebody won them to Christ. All right? If they didn't win them to Christ, you won't be able to gather them for believers meeting. So all these people now, maybe it was one Anglican priest that preached to them, or maybe when they were in their parents' churches that they first heard about Jesus Christ. Okay, fine, we are born again. If that generation did their work, and all of us now are in Christ because of them. So the rate that we are, at the rate we are going now, do you think there will be any new convert in the next 20 years? I just want you to imagine that you have a company and your marketers, they are not bringing in new customers, but they are trying to keep the old ones. So when those old ones now get tired and they can't work again, so what business are you going to manage? And that's why it's convenient for you, for us to gather as Christians, and we'll be teaching things that have no sense to God. Even Satan doesn't know where we got it from. It's because we are okay, we are convenient. If you hear now that Boko Haram has invaded Lagos, your first instinct is to run, not pray. It's because you are far from God. That's the thing with being close to God. It will show. After some time, it will show. I was listening to a lady who became a Christian. I think she used to be a Muslim or something. She's a white woman, but she converted. And she started exposing some things about Islam. And people were sending her messages and say, mind your business, oh, mind your business, oh. She now said to them that you people should stop advising me. The day I came to Christ, I knew I would not live long again. Look at the pretty girl talking, oh. An average pretty lady is looking for a husband. This one said the day she came to Christ, she knows that that decision will cost her life. So she needs to tell her fellow Muslims, former Muslims, about Jesus before the time is up. She said, I didn't come to Christ because I was bored. I didn't come to Christ. She said, I picked the book. I picked the Quran. I picked the text material of Buddha, of Buddhism. She opened it like this. She took permission from her father, who is a Muslim, that she wants to research about other religions just for research purposes. It was research she was doing, and she landed with Christ. So she first read the book, the Quran, and she said just from reading, she didn't go too far. She started seeing errors. Started seeing mistakes. She saw that Allah has two right hands. It's in the Quran. Allah has two right hands. She said, mark it. She saw that the Quran referred to Jesus as the eternal spirit, the word of God. She saw it in the Quran that they said, if Muslims have questions, they should go and read the Bible to confirm the truth. She saw it. So she saw a lot of things. She said, okay, this one don't do. Carried Buddhism. Sit down, no head, no tail. Just put it somewhere. She now carried Bible. That this one, she must criticize it. Then she started reading. Greater love has no man than this, that a man should lay down his life for his friends. Then it occurred to her that all through the Quran, there was nowhere that Allah expressed his love for his creation. As far as Allah is concerned, we are his slaves. But this one said, greater love has no man. This one loves me. This one said, I'm his slave. She packed her bag, became a Christian. She still wears hijab, but she preaches with it. Now, one of the reasons why we have to master the art of being this witness is because sometimes you be in situations that it may be very difficult to hear God. It is that witness that will guide you. Have you ever had a dream before, and when you woke up, something just told you, forget about that dream? Have you had that experience before? Like maybe the dream was very, very bad. Very, on a good day, you start fasting and praying. You just say, this one, this is the outcome of eating after 10 p.m. The remaining amala that you force yourself, you don't want the food to waste. The thing now show up like a black monkey pursuing you in the dream. Eh? Meanwhile, there are some other dreams, and you will just, as you are waking up, you will have that witness that we need to pray. Huh? As you are getting up, you know, this one, we need to pray. It's the witness. So some of you are already having this experience, but you need to be able to identify it, because this is how God talks to you. This is how God talks to me. When I say, the Lord is talking to me now, this is how he is talking to me. Not everybody will hear the audible voice. There is the audible voice. You may be lucky sometimes you hear it. If you want to be a spiritual giant, you must understand this. If not, you will be moved by everything you see or hear. In order for the Holy Spirit to teach us, he uses the witness. Jesus says when he comes, he will teach us of all things. How is he going to teach us? When we study the word of God, he will be ministering to you and saying, this one is for me, take it. This thing that this pastor is saying, take it. This one, remove it. I was with one pastor somewhere, and he was prophesying to me, and I was shouting, amen, amen, amen. But in my mind, I was laughing. Because I knew that thing he was saying is not from God. You understand? But let me just save you the embarrassment and give you the feeling of being a man of God. So I just allow him. But what if I'm... So what if I don't know what the will of God is? Then I will begin to run up and down. That pastor told me I will buy a car and start an Uber business. If I start a Uber business, I will run at a loss. All the people that will be booking the ride will be church members. And out of shame, I will not collect money from her. Then she to say, Pastor, God bless you. I say, don't worry. We are one. Then she will book me again. Out of shame, I will not collect. Mama to book out of shame. I say, Mama, let's even go and pray. I want us to pray. I will branch, enter her house. We'll pray. The one I'm coming, somebody say, it's like I know you, sir. From where? I say, our prophetic streams. Okay, don't worry. God bless you. Let me sow into your life. Then you get to your wife, you say, yeah, may go. I say, I don't know. You say, no market. Your fuel is showing empty. Where is the money? I say, let me go back to my calling. It's like this. If we continue like this, one day I will break somebody's head out of frustration. This is the way that the Holy Spirit teaches us. It will give us a green light. That inner witness is like a green light, red light. Or what's that orange? Is it orange? Amber. Amber means hold on. Red, don't move. Green, go. Instead of trying to know everything about this guy before you say yes, why not ask the Holy Spirit? Women think they are the only ones who know how to hide things. Men have been hiding things since the day of Adam. The things that Adam even hid, we are still looking for it now, we have not seen it. That Adam hid, archaeologists are still looking for it. So you came, You look at her young and pretty face. You say she's the one for you. Pastor, I prayed and God said. But I don't want to break your heart. There are people who came into this office and they told me, God told them. The man tell me, God, I will not change your mind. But me, I know you will suffer. I know. And all of them in that category now, they're having one problem. Because it's not God. Just come to me and say, Pastor, I like this person. It's even better for you. Then we can advise you. These are the things to check. If you know you are going to be a pastor, ask her. Hope you don't mind being married to a pastor or being a pastor's wife. Say, the moment she says, my brother, come back to the prayer team that you left. We are waiting for you. Come and join us. We have VG. Come and pray for nations. Meanwhile, there are people that we meet every day who say it is pastor's wife they want to marry. If she likes to go to the club, just to relax, not that she drinks, so she just relax. You already know that's not your wife. If she has a strong appetite for secular music, she knows all the latest whatever, and the Holy Spirit is not checking her. You see, that's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He will let you know where he's standing. That's why I told you on Sunday that most people have the fake Holy Spirit. Instead of buying the Microsoft suite, you went under the bridge at Comta Village and you bought it for 100 naira. So when you install it, if you are lucky, it will not crash your system, if you are lucky. Or it will work. Then when you now try to... So a lot of people, how you will know they have fake Holy Spirit is that record button, we know it will be grayed out, it won't work. So what that means is that what that checker, that thing that's supposed to tell them, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it. If somebody falls into the sin of fornication easily, he doesn't have the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying he cannot follow, but you see that last 5 minutes, boom, boom, the way your heart will be beating, boom, boom, you will know that the Holy Spirit is telling you this is your final chance. Get out of here. Even if you planned, went to the pharmacy, bought some things, came ready, you see that last 5 minutes, even then, the Holy Spirit will be telling you. You see that last 5 minutes? The way your heart will be beating, except you are not born again. So that checker, that is the inner witness. That is a sign you have the authentic Holy Spirit. One secular musician releases his song that everybody is vibing to. Once you just see 1 minute video, the part of the song that is very interesting is on TikTok, you just download it from there. Put it on your status. And the Holy Spirit did not, sorry, what are you doing? I am telling you, maybe I'll do a separate message, how to know if you have the authentic Holy Spirit. But one of the ways you know is that he will express his approval or displeasure. He will tell you, Haven't you seen people who were right? They were arguing with somebody. They were right, though. Then they came back to still apologize because the Holy Spirit did not let them rest. You are right, though. That thing you said is the truth. But because of the way you were shouting on the other person, you could not sleep. The Holy Spirit now said, go back and beg. He said, this person is wrong. He said, go and beg. We don't do that one here. He said, I'm sorry. Even you are not sure why the Holy Spirit wants you to apologize. The only thing is that you could not sleep. A lot of my couples will know this one too. When you quarrel around 8 p.m. or this, you know, even though you are lying to yourself, when you are doing your counseling or when you are just deceiving yourself, you say you are in love. You say that we will not allow any fight to go into the next day. I'm here to ask you how market. Because if that matter involves money, until she gets the alert, that quarrel will continue. Even when you tell you that, no, it's okay. Ah, and you say, no, let's just go to bed. And you went to bed. Just make sure you lock the door from inside because something may carry you and throw you into the forest, the evil forest, before you wake up. Just settle her. Amen. The Bible says, settle with your enemy. Jesus says, settle with your enemy before we get to court. You are arguing with a woman, she's not quiet. You think you have won. Bro, come, let's explain to you. Like you just got married. Hey, ladies, it takes the Holy Spirit. Say, no, we will not allow any quarrel. First day, you did it well. 3 months into your wedding, you did it well. You did not allow the quarrel. By 11:50, you are like, we need to settle. So you can maintain your testimony that you don't carry any quarrel into the next day. What's the difference between 11:50 and 12:01? You are deceiving yourself. You say, no, my, ask, say, sweetheart, that's what we do here. We don't allow, you are a useless person. Is that, who told you that? Well, this, your 11:50, is already daybreak in another country. Why do you need to wait for 11:50 so that your pride? Meanwhile, you only waited because you are hoping she will come and beg you. When you now notice that she was ready to deal with you, you now want to behave like a Christian, saying, let's settle. You know we are Christians. I'm sorry. Hey, let's fight till tomorrow. What's your problem? You have already proven you are an unbeliever. So don't just be an unbeliever till 6 a.m. if you can survive it. The Holy Spirit is a checker. It gives you relevant. I remember there was a time, I shared that story last Sunday. We were looking for a document at the office. It was through the intuition, that first one, that God told me. I didn't hear a voice. That go and check that place. And how do you refine this ability? Number one, you can refine it through authentic worship. When you put yourself in an environment of pure worship. You know, pure worship brings you close to God. Pure worship. There are some of these so-called things we call Christian songs now. You even be lost in. The song may not be the problem. But when you see people dancing, you begin to lose. You think about many things. The Lord himself is offended. I saw one pastor somewhere. And I felt disappointed. The way he was even dancing, I know there must be lost in the choir, lost in the church, lost everywhere. The pastor should be removed. He was even dancing the thing more than the musician that sang the song. Ungodly. But this thing, if I say it, you may be offended. It takes the Holy Spirit to tell you, hey, stop that. The Holy Spirit can tell you how when to stop making calls. Some things he will tell you, he may permit for this one, but he will not permit for you because he knows you. One brother said that he has a special anointing to cancel sisters. That he can't explain it. But anytime they tell him their problems, he just feel a compassion. And the anointing of the Spirit, he will know what to tell them. I say, bro, I see you in hell. You cannot avoid it. You will end up in hell. You will go to hell fire. You cannot miss it. The way you are going, you cannot. It's a straight road. The Bible says, broad is the road. You can't miss it. Just see like this. When you are here now, just be going straight. You will not get to Ikorodu. You will get to hell. Say no, it's just. I say most of the faithful disciples that Jesus had, they were women. Or you don't know. How many of them broke his heart? None. Peter gave prophecy now. Jesus healed him. The next thing he said, he now worsened his condition. He went against the. You know, Peter, just like someone just said, oh, just like for me to prophesy in the meeting, and pastor say, oh my God. Such an accurate word.
only for me to now say another thing. Jesus just commended this girl. The guy now became very confident. When Jesus began to teach about how he would die, Peter is going to be quiet. You will not die. But leave to declare the words of God. Satan, be quiet. If Peter knew this witness, he would have double-checked. Sometimes when the Lord is talking to me about, maybe we're in a meeting like this, and the Lord is talking, I will be quiet for a while because I need to double-check and double-check and double-check and double-check. And one of the ways to double-check is to be neutral. Are you with me? If there's a decision you need to make, and you are trusting God to speak to you, should I buy this phone or not? Instead of you to be looking at all the features, tell me, what can the phone do? The phone, the music is loud. You are just creating problem for yourself. You will not hear God. I will put the phone here, and I will stay in the middle. Whether I have it or not, not important. I will stay here, and I will pray. As long as my heart is not moved towards that decision, I will know what God is saying. The moment I am so passionate, I must get this particular phone, the chances that I will make mistake is very high. And that's what a lot of us are doing. You are claiming, for God will give me the desires of my heart. That is if your heart is in alignment with God. Hallelujah. You can fine-tune this by praying in tongues. You can fine-tune this by living in an atmosphere, controlled atmosphere of worship. You can operate more in intuition. What else did I mention? Intuition, the promptings, and check, and the checking, the checker. You can operate in these three things by putting your mind, not your spirit, your mind in an environment that God can minister to you. That's why one of the ways you can do it is through worship. There was a case in the Bible where Elisha needed to hear God. But Elisha, the prophet, did not know what God was saying. He now told them that they should bring a music minister. As the person started singing, the Spirit of God came upon him. So you can see the power of music. Music can bring spirits to you. Music can bring demons to you. All those people who sing Christian songs and they funkify it, I'm so sorry for them. Well, let me leave the matter. Because a generation will rise, and those are the songs they will know as Christian songs. Then they will now wonder where God went. Then like Gideon, they'll be asking, if truly it is God, why are we not seeing him? It's not about how fast the song is or how slow. It is the spirit by which you are doing what you are doing. Something is wrong, sir. Elisha brought a minister. David was brought as a minister to Saul, and demons left. You are singing and you are shaking your body and tying up and everything, and now you are possessed by. Say, Pastor, I don't know why I'm always attracting the wrong people. I know why. I know why. There is that which the scripture refers to as the holy and the profane. That's for another day. That which is of God must be holy, sacred. You don't put it outside where dogs will touch it. I was watching this, program where people sing. It's an American show where American Idol. And a young girl came there and sang a worship song. I can't remember that song, but a very popular worship song. The man in their midst, there's one popular man, the guy like that. The guy doesn't even sing. The guy started crying. Okay, yes, the song she was singing is, what is your name, Jesus? You deserve the praise. See all the demons in that place, they became quiet. The girl was just worshiping. Stood the one. No. There was nothing like that. Well, the man did not believe in God, though. The camera caught the man like this. He was weeping. He couldn't move. I may not be the same God. Where would they talk? We are falling. We are raising a generation that will not know God. Then they will come up and say, if God is even real, we should have shown up. We will not show up. See, look at your Instagram page and see what you've been doing with your life for the last 5 years. Unless we give the Holy Spirit the permission, these three aspects with which He regulates our life, without these three areas, the promptings, the checkers, and what? And the intuition. He cannot regulate our lives. The government of the Holy Spirit will be absent. Even your tongues will be dead. Don't look for an audible voice. Go and spend time with Him. And begin, get a notebook where you can document the things He lays upon your heart. This morning before you go out, I want you to spend 30 minutes with me. You are going to read John chapter 15, John chapter 16, John chapter 17. That's how God will start with you. It will just be like a thought. Then you sit down. Ah, madam, where could we go now? I say, wait. I have to obey God first. You read, then you jot. Don't read the Bible like you are reading Daily Manna. Daily Manna is for new Christians. Open your Bible, read John chapter 15. What as you are, anything you are learning, be writing it. Ah, God says, let my light so shine so that the whole world can see my good works. You know, write it down and say, this is what God told me this morning. Because it's God's word. Because God told you to read that chapter. And anything you see in that chapter is a message to you. That's how you start. Not that you want to prophesy and be telling someone that I saw you buying cars. What do I need the cars for? Do you know how much fuel is? And what do I need the cars for? So God told me it's going to expand. It's going to give you a lot of cars. Madam, that's not what I want now. Huh? The one that I have, I am still not sure if to change it to CNG or to be using it like that or to sell it. So, Biko, if you cannot help me, just leave me. Don't prophesy that I saw you with a big Jeep. Big Jeep, big Wahala. Do you know what my president said people should not be buying fuel again? If you go out now, you spend 80,000. You cannot. You don't have any clothes. You use 80,000, 100,000, and the fuel tank will not be full. The checker, the prompter, and what the intuition. These are the three ways that the inner witness works. And you must, everybody here, including those that are children, they can grow in it. As you continue to pray in the Holy Ghost, you will begin to experience this more and more. In the name of Jesus. That being said, why is it that many of us cannot pray? If prayer is the key to making these operations very active in our lives, why is it that many of us cannot pray? One of the major reasons is because we do not have a purpose for prayer. Nobody will just get up and start praying. For instance, I do not necessarily pray to have things. I can't really remember the last time I was praying. Like, I don't have a prayer book with requests. Most of the things I pray for is how I will not be useless in God's sight. I don't want to be useless. So I want to know Him. I want to be useful in His hands. Once in a while, I may have one or two things, but it's not a regular. If you develop your prayer life like that, I want to be close to God, these three things will start working. You will come to church. Have you ever come to church? God told you something. When the pastor wanted to preach, it was the same scripture he started quoting. Now you are talking. Go home and practice these things. Tell yourself, 2025, you want to become a spiritual giant. People may look at you and say, ah, fine girl, fine girl. But when they come close, they will notice there's a fire that is burning within your spirit. It's not all this makeup. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we ask tonight that you will activate these operations in our lives. That, Lord, from today, both for those of us that are here and for those of us that are listening online, you will cause us to begin to experience divine intuitions, divine promptings, and divine checks. That these operations will be loud in our spirits. It will guide us. It will lead us aright. In the name of Jesus. Lord, you said that the children that you have given are for signs and for wonders. We ask that from today, you will begin to guide us accurately with divine signs. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask for grace to please you in all our ways, to walk in faith,